bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otetu. And now, today's word.
Well, today, as we conclude or get ready to conclude our 40 days of power, those of you who have been watching my word to go, you know that I've been focusing on thanksgiving and praise and worship. So my message is titled, Thanksgiving Completes Our Faith. Thanksgiving completes our faith. We have prayed in faith during these 40 days of power. There have been amazing testimonies. People have experienced God do things for them in very profound ways. Very profound ways. There's been a lot that has been shared. And I want to focus on thanksgiving as a way of completing the process that we have been through. My text is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 to verse number 19. And let's hear the reading of God's Word. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen. The passage starts with the location of Jesus. And it says that Jesus, as he went to Jerusalem, so he's on his way to Jerusalem, he goes through different towns in Samaria and Galilee, and the scene is very intentional because of what happens later on. Samaria is made up of mixed multitudes who are not full Jews, and then Galilee is made up of Jews. So Jesus is going between villages of Samaria who are not Jews and then Galilee who are Jews. And as he entered one of the villages, we are not told which one, whether it is a Samaritan village or a Galilean village, he's met with 10 lepers. And these lepers are standing outside of the gate of the village and shouted with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In the days of Jesus, lepers were not allowed to enter a city. They were considered unclean and their disease very, very contagious. And so they were kept outside of the population, similar to what we do now when somebody gets infected with COVID, the coronavirus, whatever disease, they are quarantined. So lepers were quarantined at that time. So these lepers shouted to Jesus. They cannot go to him. They cannot go to the village. If they are tried to get to the village, they will be stoned. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus shouted back to them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And they believed the word of Jesus Christ and started to go show themselves to the priest. And as they were going, they realized that they were healed. The reason they had to go show themselves to the priest was because the priests then were the health inspectors of Israel. They had to certify whether a disease has been healed or not. And so they go and you get a certificate of healing or of health. So they go and it is certified that they are cleansed. And they all go their merry way. They are so happy about their healing, but they forget the healer. Except one. And he goes back to Jesus Christ and he worships before the Lord and he cries with a loud voice and thanks Jesus Christ. And Jesus asked a very interesting question. Were there not 10 people healed? How come none of the 10 came except this foreigner? And that is very important because the man was a Samaritan. He wasn't from Galilee. He wasn't a Jew. The Jews are the people of Jesus. Jesus is a Jew. His people got healed and never thanked him. And the people who are not his people thank him. It's almost like saying God moved and worked powerfully. The believers didn't thank him. The unbelievers were thanking him. That's what happened. And Jesus said, where are the 9? That simply tells you that Jesus was expecting the people who have been touched by him to come back and show appreciation to God. So the question is, after God has moved powerfully in your life, does he expect thanksgiving from you? Yes, he does. When God visits you, does he expect you to show appreciation? Yes, he does. When God heals you, does he expect you to show appreciation? Yes, he does. When God prospers you, does he expect you to show appreciation? Yes, he does. When God blesses the work of your hand, does he expect you to show appreciation? Yes, he does. When God allows you to wake up in the morning and live your life incident-free, does he expect you to show appreciation? Yes, he does. How do we know? Because Jesus says, where are the rest? There are many times we come to God with expectation, but after he has done what we requested of him, we are so excited about what he has done that we forget the one who does it. And this leper from Samaria came to Jesus. And I like how the passage, the Bible puts it in verse 13. It says, when they were offering their requests, the Bible said, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Note how the passage puts it. They lifted up their voices when they were making the request. That means they shouted and they screamed, Jesus, help us. Now, when the gratitude is being shown, listen to how the passage also puts it. Concerning this one. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Do you know that? He used a loud voice to get Jesus to heal him and a loud voice to thank him. That shows that the same intensity by which he sought God's help was the same intensity by which he brought his thanksgiving to God. Many times there is a lot of intensity when we are seeking God, but when we are thanking him, the intensity goes down. We come to God with a lot of intensity, but after he ministers, we lower the intensity in our thanksgiving. And he was a foreigner. And he gave worship to God. He bowed down. He was on his face thanking God. Now, in this thanksgiving, this man, the only thing he had to thank God was his praise, was his words, was the posture of his body. Because that's all he had. He's a leper. He doesn't work. He doesn't earn a salary. He has nothing to thank God for except his body to thank God. And so he throws his whole body at the feet of Jesus. If he had something more than his body, he would have thrown that also at the feet of Jesus. But he's a leper with nothing. So all he has is the body that has been healed, that has been cleansed, and he cast his body at the feet of Jesus. So, if we believe that God has touched us, and if we believe that God has visited us, he wants you to return to him and give thanks. And how should we give thanks? Well, the leper shows us how to do that. He came with a loud voice to make a request, came with the same intensity to thank God. And because all he had was his body, he threw his body at the feet of Jesus. Let's hear what Jesus taught about thanksgiving and honoring God. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 to 9. Jesus is denouncing some people. And he calls them hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now Jesus is talking about two ways in which people honor God. He calls one honoring with the lips. These people honor me with their lips. When we honor with the lips, it's good. But in this instance, Jesus is not praising honor with the lips. Because there's a second honor that Jesus talks about that is preferred. Honor with the heart. Honor with the lips, honor with the heart. Honor with the lips, Jesus says, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for lip service. Saying something you don't mean. I'm looking for heart service. Heart worship. Heart thanksgiving. Coming from the depths of your being. And that's what the leper did. He came with his heart. Although his lips were speaking, it wasn't just lips speaking. It was heart speaking. When we want to thank God and honor God, we have to do it from your heart, from our heart. Now, how do you know whether you're doing it from your heart? You know you're doing it from your heart because you are doing it with the same intensity with which you went to seek help from God. With the same intensity with which you went to God for help. So, well, as you know, if you are in ICGC today, it's our First Fruits Sunday. And let's see how this helps us in thanking God. Proverbs chapter 9, chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. We read it almost every month on First Fruits Sundays. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord. If it's from our heart, it must honor the Lord. The word honor simply means to offer something that is weighty or glorious, doing something that is significant or glorious. It's honor. Honor is sometimes difficult to define. But there are ways in which we honor. For example, if a young man is going to ask the hand of a girl, or a woman, not a girl, and they've decided to marry, the young man and the young woman want to marry, and as our traditions in Ghana dictate, you go and do the knocking, and then you do the traditional marriage, and then you go to the church and do the church wedding. So, part of the ceremonies in the traditional marriage is that the young man, through his intermediaries, must make a presentation to the father of the bride and the mother and sometimes other relatives. Now, some, you know, used to be items, but now everything is reduced to money. Now, can you imagine a young man who is supposed to give 500 cedis to his future father-in-law? Now, he can go to Makola Market or Salaga Market or some other market and collect 500 cedis soiled with fish essences and meat essences and yokogari essence and all kinds of things and put them together. It's 500 cedis. The value of the money is the same. But that will not be considered honor, although the value is the same. That young man is going to go to the bank and ask for fresh notes and put the fresh notes into a good package and wrap it and present it to his father-in-law, future father-in-law. Why does he do that? Why does he do that? 500 soiled is the same 500 fresh notes. The value is the same, but one is honorable, the other is not honorable. So when we say that we are doing something to honor God, it's not just the act, but it is also the heart behind it and the value you place on the person you are going to honor. So there are things we do for God. They look okay. For example, somebody saying, "Oh God, I love you. Oh God, I love you. Oh God, I love you." And then another person says, "Oh Lord, I love you. Oh Lord, I love you." Two different "I love you." Words are the same, but the gesture is different. One comes from the heart. It shows value for the one who is being honored. And the other is just going through the motions. When we come to honor God, we don't go through the motions. We don't just do something because the church says we should do it, because we are being asked to do it. In Christianity, we don't do things because our church says it. We do things because we are convinced that is the will of God. If your church says it and you don't think it's the will of God, go ahead and live your life. But our faith is not in the church, it's not in the pastor. Our faith is in God and in his word. And if we are doing something, until we come to the full conviction, this is for God, this is from the Lord, then whatever we do will be a lip service. It will not honor God. So, we are told, honor the Lord. That means that you're going to be very particular about what you do. And then it tells us what to honor the Lord with. Honor the Lord with your possessions. If all you possess is your body, like the leper, then you honor God with your body and worship and bow before him. If in addition to your body, you have the work of your hand, then you honor God with the work of your hand. If God has blessed you with much, you honor him with much. If God has blessed you with little, you bless him according to your strength. But you don't just say, "Well, everybody is honoring God with this, so that's what I'm going to honor God with." No, it depends on the weight of his blessing that he has placed on you. To whom much is given, much is required. Honor the Lord. Do it for God. And in these 40 days of power, you've prayed, you've trusted God, you've believed God, and God has come through for you. Or you are expecting the miracle to come through. Thanksgiving is what completes the cycle. For the 9 lepers who were healed, they didn't complete the cycle. Because Jesus said something to the one that he didn't say to the 9. He told the 9, "Go and show yourself to the priest." To the one, he says, "Your faith has made you whole," or "your faith has made you well." That he never said to the 9. What is the implication of that? I don't know. But it must be significant if it was spoken. It means that something happened to that one that did not happen to the 9. It is my inclination. This is my inclination. The Bible doesn't say, but it's my inclination, that when Jesus said to the 10, go and be cleansed, their leprosy was cleansed. But if you know anything about leprosy, there's a difference between being cleansed from leprosy and being healed from leprosy, or being made whole from leprosy. When you are cleansed from the leprosy, the infection goes. But if it has eaten your fingers, and if it is eating any part of your body, and there is distortions and disabilities in any part of your limbs, they will still remain, although you are cleansed. If you go to the any leper's colony and see, or place where lepers have been cleansed and healed, you may still find that what it took away was not restored to them, although they are now well. So my inclination is, when this person came with thanksgiving, a process of healing has started, but it was completed when he came with thanksgiving. The others went with part one of God's process. They never got part two of the process. The part two came when this man came and said, Lord, I worship you. I thank you for what you have done. And Jesus spoke a second word to him and says, your faith has made you whole. I believe when Jesus said that, the limbs that had been eating were restored. Everything came back whole. Not just a cleansing, but a restoration. There is something about thanksgiving that completes your faith in God. What God starts in your life is completed through thanksgiving. And for many of us this month, God has started a process from July to August. And we believe that this August is going to be a turnaround of month for many of you. Your story will be different. Your focus will be different. God is going to open doors that have been shut for so long. But when he starts the process, don't think that is the end of it. Just because you got cleansed doesn't mean he has finished working with you. He wants to also restore what he has cleansed you from. He wants to restore. And it happens when we thank the Lord, when we return to thank the Lord, and when our thanksgiving is an honor. Our thanksgiving is an honor. So he says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Possessions simply means your belongings, your property, your wealth. You honor them, God, with them, because if you believe he is the one who gave it to you, then you honor God with them. And then he says, honor God with your increase, your earnings, your profit. Honor God with them. It includes salary, dividends, bonuses, royalties. You honor God with your increase. And as I said earlier, if you're doing something and you say, I'm doing it for my church, I'm doing because my church teaches it, you are lost. We don't do things because church teaches it or the pastor teaches it. We do things because we are convinced that is what God expects from us. Until you come to that place of conviction, your Christian life will be lip service. You need to come to the place of knowing for yourself what God expects from you, and honoring God out of conviction, not out of fear. Out of faith, not out of fear. Not out of intimidation, not out of manipulation. It's out of conviction. Christianity is based on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can give $1 million, but if it has not, it's not based on faith, it's useless. What makes our worship worthy is because it is based on faith. We know this is the word of God, and we do it as unto the Lord. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your increase. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. Now, in most churches, people take the tithe, which is 1/10 of what people have earned. We believe, under the New Testament, God does not require 1/10 from us. He requires a first fruit. The first fruit is the best and the most superior you can give. And if you look through the pattern of the New Testament, from the beginning to the end, every giving in the New Testament was more than one-tenth. It was more than one-tenth. One-tenth is Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is the best. Jesus said to his disciples, your righteousness must exceed the Pharisees. The Pharisees give one-tenth with exactitude. They had a tape measure to measure one-tenth of everything. He says, because of my dealings with you, this is a new covenant based on better promises. You have to do better than the Pharisees. That means when we are honoring God, we don't put tape measure on it. We don't put calculator on it. When we are honoring God, it's not like, okay, let me just calculate this. I give God his own and I'm free. No. When we are honoring God, we're saying, Lord, everything belongs to you anyway, and I'm going to give you something that shows my weight of appreciation for you. And until we are able to operate that way, our giving will be mechanical and it attracts no blessing. It will be denominational. It will be based on force, but not based on conviction. Can you imagine a man who says, I love my wife, but I would never give her a present above this amount because you have calculated something. No, that's not how you show your love. And by the way, it goes both ways. Wives who love their husbands too. You get to the point where you can say, yeah, I want to. Yes, this is what is required, but I want to do more. This is what is asked of me, but I want to do more. All I'm saying is when it comes to giving thanks to God, don't be mechanical about it. And don't try to just fulfill an obligation. It's a relationship. It's a covenant relationship. And you do it as unto the Lord. When that leper came to worship Jesus, he's a Samaritan. People were not sure whether Jesus is the Son of God or not. That act of bowing to Jesus and worshiping him was a very dangerous act. Because the Jews could stone you for doing that, for bowing to a human being. But he bowed to Jesus. Because at that time, he threw everything he had unto Jesus. And he didn't really bother about whether people will be offended, people will be angry, or somebody would criticize me after this, or somebody would stone me after this. This is a man who saw me afar off and touched my life. So let me ask you a question. Has Jesus touched you? Has Jesus spoken to you? Has Jesus cleansed you? Has Jesus lifted you up? Has Jesus giving you ideas? Is he important to you? Is your salvation precious? Is your faith in God precious? Do you consider going to heaven precious? Do you consider the promises of God as precious? Then if all of those things are precious and you really love the Lord, then in your own heart, determine the weight you used to honor him. And that is how we give unto the Lord. We don't give out of pressure or compulsion. We give out of conviction because we honor the Lord with our thanksgiving. As we finish out our 40 days of power, and for the rest of your life, constantly remember, thanksgiving completes your faith. It completes the process that God has started in your life. We overcome through our testimony. We overcome through our thanksgiving. We overcome by lifting up the name of the Lord. So this morning we just want to pray and thank God for how far he has brought us for the month of August. We want to pray that God will guide us through the month of August. And remember, tomorrow night I will be ministering in a live service of anointing. Father, we thank you for so much that you have done for us. For these 39 days that we've waited on you. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers that have been offered. For the scriptures that have been read. For the messages that have come to inspire us. Thank you, Lord, that even when we were down, you lifted us up. When we were in the valley, you give us fountains of water. In our desolate heights, Lord, you give us rivers. In the wilderness, you open pools for us. In our dry places, you open springs. You are the one who helped us to break our fallow ground. You have given us life. You have given us expectation. You have not cut short our expectation. So for all that you have done, we honor you. And we thank you. And we love you. And we appreciate you. And we declare, Lord, you are number one in our lives. You are number one. You are the top of the line in our hearts. And we bow to you as this leper did. May it not be asked of us, where is he? Where is she? Where are the other nine? May we be the one that comes and returns with thanksgiving to honor you for all that you have done. We give you praise, Lord. We give you honor, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen and amen. And I want you to just purpose in your heart that you will honor God every time, and show him appreciation for what he has done for you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otebe@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.